Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguar. Drive Time. Brian Sexton. John Osher. Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Here we go on a Monday morning. Welcome to Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and here on Twitter as well. A shot of the fields. The Jaguars will be back out there later this morning getting set for the Cincinnati Bengals, who come in after a win yesterday over the Indianapolis Colts. A lot to talk about. Back to football, a nine-week grind towards the postseason for the Jaguars. And we have plenty to discuss. Good morning and welcome into the studios. Brian Sexton along with John Osher. We have plenty to cover as we get forward this morning, including an enormous trade on Friday evening. But first, my cheerful co-host on a Monday morning.
I'm right
looking
here.
Sharp.
Let's go.
Did you get a haircut?
I got them all cut.
There you go. The jokes are starting early. But it's back to football after a much-needed break, for me at least. I'm sure you needed it too. The team got one. We'll talk about that as well. How was your bye?
It was fine.
Did you spend time on the couch watching football?
A little bit yesterday. You know, I watched a touch of the Skins Cowboys game. I didn't see the Texans game, but I certainly saw the highlights. And Jaguars go into this thing tied for first, and it's all right there in front of.
So I had my 73-year-old father in town, and I introduced him yesterday to the Red Zone, which he had never seen. And the first 10 minutes, he was a little choppy on it, you know, because they move you from game to game to game, and that's not how people are used to watching it. But he figured out real quickly why ratings in the NFL might be down after watching the Red Zone, where there are no commercials. And he felt like at the end of the day that he had seen every game, that he'd watched every game in the league that day.
Right. And there's an element to that. There's also an element, you know, everybody's talking about the ratings. There's also an element of the streaming with the ratings. And there's also an element that ratings are down for television
in general, right?
In general. So I think that all plays into it, but certainly the ability to consume in non-traditional ways.
Oh yeah.
Is
they got to figure out how to measure that.
Is the biggest factor.
Cuz we had the Red Zone on all day long. We felt like we saw every part of the game. It was a football Sunday, and I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I did, but
right.
The Texans-Seattle game, of course, we're following it closely there at the end of the day, trying to see if it would give an advantage to the Jaguars, and we'll talk about that.
Sure.
So we've got plenty to go. Time now to introduce the third member of our team here. You know her, Ashlyn Sullivan, who spent some time mourning her Gators over the weekend as they lost here in her new home stadium at Everbank Field. How you doing, Ash?
I'm better now. I mean, I hate that you had to bring it up.
Well, but you knew I had to. I had to.
I know.
They fired the coach.
They did.
They had to.
It was an eventful Sunday, to say the least.
Is it called firing the coach when you send him away with millions of dollars in his pocket?
I think he'll be just fine.
I mean, you're like this. It's like, I'll see you guys. Wait, I dropped money. I'll see you guys.
Yeah, just about.
Okay, now that's sadness, are you now officially a professional football fan?
Yes. Okay. After that, I just had to let it go.
Yep, let the money go.
We're moving on.
All right. So you had a good weekend, other than the Gator game.
Other than that,
and
all
so
was well.
Here we go. Now the stretch run, 9 weeks to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Start us off with the biggest thing this morning.
And it's a big one. I mean, bye week, yes. However, the Jaguars, they are still working, acquiring Marcell Dareus from the Buffalo Bills, reuniting with head coach Doug Marrone for an exchange for a 2018 draft pick. Brian, you said this is the third biggest trade in franchise history.
I think it has a great chance to be the third if he plays as well. I don't see how this could possibly ever be one or two, because one brought Mark Brunell here the night before the draft. Two sent Rob Johnson before the draft in 98
sure.
That became Fred Taylor, and those guys are on your wall of fame. So outside of those two trades, this has the chance to be. It's easily the most significant in-season
right.
trade they have ever made, and a chance to be a hugely significant trade if he plays. So I'm walking into my closet to grab something, and Keegan, my oldest, says, "What do you think of the trade, Dad?" I said, "Who traded for who?" He said, "The Jaguars traded for Marcell Dareus." I said, "What?"
Yeah.
I blew me away.
Well, and I think one reason it blew people away is people were sort of expecting and talking for the last couple weeks about, would they do something offensively? Would they go wide receiver? Would they go, you know, I don't know if tight end was that talked about, but there's also the quarterback thing is still in the water. None of which I expect to happen.
I was going to say, you think they're done?
Well, I thought they were done before Dareus. So I guess what do I know? But it makes sense in the sense that you're trying to get your strongest area stronger, and you're trying to make a move that makes what is already the thing that you carry with you, which is their defense, the thing that people can't beat. There was a weakness before, there was run defense, and now you would think that this is a move that dramatically changes that equation in the interior, which was that you could cut back on this team and you could establish a run against this team. You would think that Darius helps you strengthen that, but he can also rush the passer. It has a
10 sacks in 2014. Yeah,
it has the potential to be, and I'm drawing a blank on what it compares to, but to take you over the top into an elite level defense.
So I have to give credit to the Jags strength and conditioning coach, Tom Iselinski, who on the plane ride home from Indy, we were talking about where this team really could improve over the second half of the season, where they needed to get better. And he said, I need more size and strength in the middle of the defense. Nothing against Avery or Malik, but you know those guys play a different attacking style. They didn't have that run, hole clogging guy in Marcell Dareus. Now, he wasn't tipping because he certainly didn't know. But it had me thinking, okay, well, that's somewhere they're going to have to address next offseason.
Right.
They couldn't do it now. So you have the chance in season to add a former All-Pro, let alone Pro Bowl guy, that does exactly that. How often during the season do you ever see a team get a chance to make a strong area stronger?
Well, it's very rare, and it makes a strong area stronger, but I think more than anything, it makes what was sort of a sneaky weak area not as weak. Meaning the run defense, in the games they had lost, they had allowed 192 yards rushing a game. That's trouble as you get into
without a doubt
the late season. This is a guy who can impact in terms of stuffing, and he can also get penetration. His number 3 overall pick in the draft when he came out. He's only 27. He's had his best 2 years under Doug Marrone. There's a lot here that makes sense. In-season trades, you're sort of flipping a coin sometime on whether they really work or not. But this is one that feels like it's a fit.
Here's why it also makes sense. From a numbers perspective, the Jaguars didn't have to pay the big money up front. The Bills are going to eat that. So they're on the hook for about $5.5 million this year and about $10.7 million, I think, next year. And then it's gone.
Right.
And then they have the ability to move on after 2018.
Correct.
So there's not a huge risk. I laughed as I was reading through some of the analysis from people who clearly don't know the cap, who said this is a huge risk for the Jaguars in 19, 20, and 21. Hello?
Not at all.
Once the guaranteed money is gone,
right. The
contract is gone.
It is a situation where, much like most of the contracts on this team, they can get out of it after 2 years. They have a bunch of really good players on two-year deals. You can get out of this one, too.
Dareus is, a huge guy, right? Big, broad, long arms, big hands, different than Avery Jones. Can play the zero technique, the nose, right? He can do what Roy Miller once did here, what Avery Jones does now. He can also, I'm told, because of his pass rush skills, play what Malik does, which is that three technique on the outside shoulder of the guard, inside shoulder of the tackle. The flexibility that that Marion Hobby and Todd Wash have with this kind of a guy, it cannot be understated. You now have a defense with all kinds of pieces that you can puzzle together in various ways to not only create mismatches but to confuse offensive coordinators.
The great ones defy roles. And this guy, when he's right, number 3 overall pick in the draft, can do both. He can play three technique. He can play nose. Again, he can disrupt. He can be in the backfield. He can also stuff the run. It's rare. He hasn't always played up to that, but he has been very, very good at times. And he makes what was already a dominant defensive front potentially even better because of his ability to penetrate on every down.
By the way, if you want to see what Dareus is like when he's playing well, just go back 2 weeks to when the Bills beat the Buccaneers. 7 tackles, a sack and a half. I've watched part of it, but from what I understand, he's a dominant guy. Played dominant in that game. By the way, Dareus will talk today a little bit later, afternoon. Just follow us here on Jaguars.com. And we will carry it live so that you have the chance to see and hear from the head coach and his former defensive tackle, now current, Marcell Dareus, in what is a huge move for the Jaguars to make a strength much stronger. We'll step aside when we return here on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. We'll have big thing number two from Ashland and more conversation as the Jaguars get set to begin the stretch run. 9 games towards the postseason here in 2017. Back after this.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Good morning. Welcome back to Jags Drive Time on this Monday morning here with Big Thing Number 2, an AFC South update. So, Texans and Colts, they both lost yesterday. Couldn't get much better for the Jags, especially with the Tennessee Titans bye week, guys.
No, it played out well for the Jaguars. I mean, I think the Colts were done, although I was kind of surprised at how competitive they were against the Bengals, who have weapons on both sides of the line of scrimmage. We know about the Texans. Deshaun Watson had another wow game, right? And wasn't perfect, but made a lot of big plays. So let's start at the top with the AFC South, and Titans have a half-game advantage, but you see them again. And the Texans are a game behind, and you see them again, and the Colts again as well.
Well, it's all right there, meaning 3 losses for the 2 top teams and 4 losses for the Texans. It's essentially tied. It feels like a 3-way tie. It feels like what the first half of the season showed you, which is that the Jaguars went and beat the Texans. The Texans went and beat the Titans. The Titans went and beat the Jaguars. I don't see a whole lot of difference in these teams. For a few weeks there, you got the feeling that perhaps the Titans were a little bit ahead because of the way they had handled the Jaguars. But the more this Jaguars defense plays and the better it gets and the more that it starts to feel like a defense that can keep you in any game, I don't know that right now the Jaguars shouldn't be perceived as the best team in this division.
Well, when you look at the Titans, you have an excellent offensive line. I mean, although they haven't played as well in the last couple of weeks, now you've got a quarterback whose hamstring has been problematic. Mm-hmm. And do you see him as a guy who has to be able to move to be effective, or can he stand in the pocket and get it done?
He is certainly more effective when he can run. Against the Colts on Monday night a couple weeks ago, he looked very effective from the pocket, but that's not a great defense right now. I don't think he has to, but I think he's significantly better and significantly more effective when he can be mobile, when he can rush, when he can avoid the rush. As I think they expect, and as I think they've built their offense to be.
Is this Jaguars team with Darius, again, assuming that he's going to come in and do what they're supposed to do, are they better equipped to stop the run, or do you see their ability to stop the Titans, and you know what the Titans did when they were here,
right,
as being in question? Is that the biggest matchup issue they have with the Tennessee Titans?
It's clearly the biggest matchup issue, and it is a problem as long as you're behind and as long as you're not ahead. In that game, remember, they were stopping the run okay. It was even. It was 6-3, I believe, midway through the third quarter.
It was.
And then you had a point-blank touchdown that the Titans got off, I believe it was after a long punt return. So I think the Jaguars coaches would tell you, correctly so, if they hadn't had a run where they penalized themselves into bad offensive situations on 5 straight possessions in that game, they felt like the game was going their way. I think you've got to stay ahead of the Titans, but you can't be behind to let their run become the thing that they do.
All right, so the Texans, and you said you didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of them yesterday. I did. start with the quarterback because everyone is gaga over him. And I guess he's got 19 passing touchdowns in since, what is that, 8 games now? They're 3-5. He certainly is capable of explosive plays, but capable also of the rookie mistakes that we expect from young quarterbacks.
Well, I think the key right now is he's very much a rookie. In the first quarter of that game, huge play downfield, and then a play where it's a pick six the other way off of a read where he looked at the receiver the whole time, which is what you expect from a rookie. He's certainly dangerous long term because he looks like a guy who has a chance to turn into one of those elite guys. At the same time, he still hasn't been through the entire league yet. Teams will start designing defenses to stop what he's doing well. But you keep saying that, and he keeps being effective. So for right now, he looks like a guy who's going to be a real problem for the Jaguars for a long time.
The runaround quarterback's kind of an interesting guy because they can get off to a good start early because people don't necessarily know completely how to defend them. Over time, though, those guys don't hold up as well because you saw on the read option yesterday, he took a couple of big hits.
Yep. It gets scary on that front because all of a sudden, after a few years of hits, you're a little less spry in the pocket, a little less mobile, a little less able to get away from the things you got away with early and were able to create things in chaos mode. You're less able to get into chaos mode the less mobile you become. But Deshaun Watson is certainly better than a lot of his detractors. I was one of them. Thought before the draft.
Well, and the word before the draft was he was not an accurate quarterback. Now,
right.
It helps when you've got that great big Allen Robinson explosive kind of guy in DeAndre Hopkins. But Will Fuller's really made a difference for them. I mean, to see the speed that he brought, and we didn't see him on opening day. He was out with the collarbone that he broke in training camp. That's certainly given him a lot. And I thought Duane Brown's presence yesterday, and I know you didn't see a lot of the game, but
No,
he had more time. And, of course, the Seahawks, their defense, and we can talk about them in December, but their defense, it doesn't have the pass rush that it has in recent years because of injuries. Now, the defensive side of the Texans, they gave up 41 points. They couldn't stop them in the fourth quarter. The defense of the Texans, and you would it makes sense. No J.J. Watt.
Right.
No Whitney Mercilus. And Brian Cushing out until probably the end of the season. They've been exposed on defense without those key players.
Well, and they were exposed against the Chiefs when they played them. This is clearly a defense that if you are an elite-level functioning offense, you should be able to score against. The question for the Jaguars when they play them is good will their passing game be? But the move that the Jaguars made on Friday tells you what they're going to be. This is a team that believes that with its defense, it can negate whatever your strength is offensively. This franchise, meaning the Jaguars, clearly believe that they are becoming a defense that can take what you want to do away and deliver kill shots. So far, it's done it 4 out of 7 times. It needs to string some together, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But that's what this team believes it can be. It believes it can be one of those Ravens-type Super Bowl teams.
And I'm going to leave the Colts out. We talked about them last week, and clearly they're not in contention for this thing this year. So unless I'm wrong.
No,
I didn't think so.
Doesn't look like you.
I don't know whether I was impressed with the Colts' effort or really not impressed with the fact that the Bengals let them hang around, having seen them a week before.
It's a week-to-week league, and generally speaking, when a team is embarrassed, which the Colts were embarrassed by the Jaguars, and when you look like you are, you know, there was talk after that game with the Indianapolis media that this team was giving up, that it was quitting. Usually a team that those things are said about comes out and has an impressive performance the next week, even if they don't win.
All right, when we come back on Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio, we'll look specifically at the Jaguars now, how they go forward, how healthy they are for the final stretch run. It's a beautiful morning. It's chilly, which I love. It feels like fall here in North Florida. And we're back after this.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time. Now time for Ozone Snapchat. If you guys didn't know, Ozone, he gets a ton of questions every week emailed to him. He picks the best ones to highlight on Mondays and Fridays with Jags Drive Time. So the first one coming from Josh out of Ohio. John, does the acquisition of Darius indicate to you the management expects to be in the playoffs this year, not next season?
Well, I think it does. And part of this question also said that it does it mean that the team thinks it's better than it thought it was in the offseason? And I think what the Darius acquisition means is that they're as good as they thought they were going to be in the offseason. We all sort of were saying 7 or 8 wins, right?
Right.
The franchise never bought into that. They thought it was a playoff team. And I think what the Darius acquisition means is that the team, after 7 games, sees, okay, we got a shot at this thing. We're as good defensively as we thought. We've got the top-rated or one of the top 2 or 3 rated running games in the league, clearly one of the best. They looked at it over the bye and said, if we add this piece, is it going to make us that much stronger? Can we make a legitimate run at this? If you're a carry-it-with-you defense where you can take it anywhere on the road that you want to go and you can run, you got a shot.
You know, I know Tom Coughlin well enough to know that he rarely is surprised by anything. It would never admit it. I mean, I can remember asking him, are you surprised? And he said, I'm never surprised. But I'm a little surprised that this defense put it together as quickly as they did.
Absolutely.
With as many new
and
pieces.
And he is, too. I was gonna Everybody say. Is.
Now, I asked some players.
A little bit.
Right. I was asking the players in August, when Jalen came back to practice, how long will it take for this defense to start to click? You could see the elements, the pieces, but how long until they're all fitting together? Well, not very long was his response, and it was Boye's response, and it was Pozelezny's response, and everyone along the front said the same thing. But I still didn't think that we would see them playing as well as they did, as early as they did. That has to be a surprise. So I think when they look and say, we're a playoff team, which they clearly are right now, that has to be a surprise to them. And the Darius thing is, well, hey, look, if we're going to be here, let's take this chance.
Yeah, I think they thought on paper, you certainly thought the secondary could be an impactful unit. But during preseason, it never played together.
Right.
So you can say all you want about what it's going to look like on paper, but you can put 4 really good defensive backs on the field at the same time and not get the sort of impact that this group has had.
Well, and you could go and sign Calais Campbell to that monster contract, but you don't expect 10 sacks
right
in 7 games.
Right.
You hope you get 10 sacks, which is a career high for him, in 16.
Right.
There's just
And they had
they
a good matchup early
expectations.
Where you were playing in a mobile or a non-mobile quarterback, and then Watson was a rookie. They struggled a little bit in that second game against Tennessee. But, yeah, no way did you expect this. And the move does show that they think they can hashtag what? Win now.
Win now.
Ah, you like that.
I like that. Yeah. You're slick that way.
I am slick.
No one expects to see you do that or hear you do that.
Or and wants
morning,
to see it anymore.
This morning, they get both. They get the audio and the visual with John Osier. All right, back to Ashlyn. Do you have more in your Ozone mailbag?
I do, and it's kind of a similar question. Miguel from Jacksonville. We picked up Marcell Darius. How much more lights out can this defense be with about 20 exclamation points at the end of it?
Well, I think it's a different question. You know, it's how good does it make this defense? And I kind of picked this because we could talk about it. You know, it makes it a defense now that, on paper at least, should be able to prevent that Rams thing and that Titans thing from happening at the end of games where you're down by 10 and you know they're going to run, but yet you can't really stop it because they can cut back. They can do, you know, you're not in the backfield enough to really get them off the field when they want to run. This guy should change that.
So the Rams game is more top of mind because it's more recent, obviously, but they had Gurley at about 86, 87 yards until the fourth quarter. And the game was still in hand in the fourth quarter. There was a chance for them. They were only down by 7. And yet, Gurley came up with 45 yards in the fourth quarter, and they just – it was six, it was eight, it was five, it was six, it was eight, it was five.
And he was able to sort of hop out to right behind the tackle and then sort of take his time and figure out – I'm exaggerating because sort of take his time, figure out where he wanted to go, cut back to it. Darius is a guy who, much like Sendarek when he was really, really on, and this is, I mean, I'm not comparing us and Sendarek, but Sendarek had the ability to be in the backfield consistently and disrupt the back when he was trying to figure out where he wanted to go. This guy's got that same thing.
Well, and the thing we don't know is how many different packages, how many different looks, situation-wise, they're going to use him in, because he can do multiple things. You said great right. players defy roles.
With what he's making, a bunch.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and I say that because I got the question, well, what will his role be? How soon will he be starting? I don't know if he starts immediately because, you know, you want to be able to let the guy figure out where he is.
But he's going to see time.
But he's going to be at some point next to Malik Jackson, next to Ngakoue, next to Campbell in the starting lineup.
All right. Back to Ashland. We've got one more big thing to cover before we say goodnight. Or good morning, as the case may be. What you got for us, Ashlyn?
So the health of this team post-bye week. Leonard Fournette now has had 2 weeks rest with that ankle injury. You still have Marquise Lee with his bad knee. And that illness going on with Brandon Linner, you got to hope that you see those guys back on the field soon.
Well, and don't forget Cam Robinson, who injured his ankle in the game against the Colts. We don't have an update on these guys.
Right.
But you'd figure Fournette would be ready to go. He was, I don't want to say he was close, but there was some conversation about him playing in Indianapolis. So you'd think another week would be good for him.
You would think him with now having, essentially since he played, it will have been...
It'll be 3 weeks on Sunday.
3 weeks. So you would think with the ankle that he was able to play immediately, that he'll be very, very close to playing against Cincinnati. I would expect him to play. Linder's the great unknown because with the illness, you just don't know...
When the doctors will give him the go-ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Like, you can see there, well, he's got a sprained knee, so he comes back X amount of time. And Cam Robinson is the big question mark this week. I would sort of be surprised if he played because it looked like a high ankle when it happened. But that's me playing doctor, and I can play
and
it on TV.
Say, Doug says...
Who cares?
He doesn't want to get in trouble. He doesn't give updates.
Right,
he just finds out
as they go
through the course of the week. And, you know, look, Fournette, Linder, Robinson, key cogs on this team.
Yep.
But overall, when you see the health of other teams in the NFL and the injuries,
they're in pretty good shape for this stretch run. Seven games, the fact that, knock on wood, you've got one guy who is out for the season, so you know you're not getting Allen Robinson back. Beyond that, usually with injuries in the league, if you're trying to sort of navigate the waters, what you want to make sure is that you don't have any guys that are completely out of the boat and not coming back the rest of the season.
So we'll have those updates maybe a little bit later today, but probably not. So, look, as you go forward, and we're back full swing here now as we get set for the Bengals on Sunday, all access tonight at Mellow Mushroom over in Avondale. It's a 7 o'clock start on CBS 47. You have Brent Martineau, Jeff Loggeman, Calais Campbell, and I have to look at my notes to see that Dante Fowler Jr. is the guest this evening. So that should be a lively conversation. Jaguars Monday Radio right here in this studio this evening. Prisco Baselli, you don't want to miss that. And, of course, we're back Friday with Jags Drive Time, 8:30 here on TuneIn Radio and across social media. For John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato, and Pat Cavanaugh, have a great day.